The Melba Story. The story of Australia's most famous woman. The true story, fully authenticated, and featuring another wonderful Australian singer, Glenda Raymond. The Melba Story, featuring in this chapter the tenor Mario Dane. After her continental tour of 1899, Melba spent some time in Ireland and later in Scotland. After her next season at Covent Garden, she, in common with British people all over the world, was saddened by the death of the reigning monarch, Queen Victoria. But there was great consolation in the knowledge that there now ascended to the throne as King Edward VII, her own distinguished friend and patron to whom she owed so much. In the year of his coronation, 1902, Melba went to Monte Carlo for the inauguration of the grand opera season there. She was accompanied by her old friend Lady de Grey, who took great delight in showing the Australian singer the sights of the famous casino.
Beckles here, dear Minister. Monsieur,
look, Lily, there's the Grand Duke Michael. He haunts this place. Does he win any money here?
He wins and he loses. But his face never changes. He has the same expression all the time.
Of course, money wouldn't mean a great deal to him. But I've heard stories of people coming here with their last few francs and then committing suicide when they've lost everything. Is that true? Do those things really happen?
Look at that old woman, the one in black.
She's crying.
She seems to be pleading with the croupier. Let's get a bit closer and see if we can hear what she's saying.
You know who I am. I've been coming here for a long time.
And Sophie, madame?
I'll pay you back. I've got some more money in my trunk at home. Oh, please give me a louis to put on number 5.
And Sophie, madame? Faites passer, madame et monsieur.
Oh, I know number 5 is going to win. And I have no money left to put on it.
Here you are. Here's a louis.
Oh, thank you, thank you.
Rien about you. Rien about you.
Here, I want to put this on number 5.
Too late, madame.
Oh, no.
The wheel's already spinning.
You know her sang?
Oh, number 5.
I knew it. No.
Let's go, Gladys. This place makes me depressed.
But I've lots to show you yet, my dear. There's the old Duchess of Devonshire, for instance. She always comes alone and she never speaks to anybody. And there's Sir Arthur Sullivan.
Sir Arthur Sullivan? Why, he's the last person in the world I ever expected to see here.
Oh, but he adores gambling. And look at the way his hand shakes as he places his money. I'd hate to take gambling as seriously as that, wouldn't you?
I'd hate to gamble at all, if this is all the joy they get out of it. No, Gladys, you can have your casino. I'd far rather be in the building next door.
Next door? Oh, you mean the Opera House. When do you open, Nelly?
Just 2 nights from now, in La Bohème. And I'm singing with a new tenor. A young man named Enrico Caruso.
Il sogno vorrei sempre intorno.
Curioso.
Dammi il braccio, mia piccina.
Obbedisco, signor.
Enrico, wonderful.
You think I am singing well tonight?
Never before have I heard such a tenor. When this performance is over, your reputation will be assured. You'll have the whole world before you. Covent Garden, the Paris Opera, the Metropolitan.
A dazzling prospect for the poor little boy from Naples.
When did you first start to sing?
From the moment I could speak. It is the custom where I was born. Every Neapolitan boy sings in his cradle. And I was like all the rest.
But even Naples doesn't produce a voice like yours more than once in a century.
And yet, do you know that at the beginning nobody would take my singing seriously?
That happened to me, too.
To you? Oh, no, not the great Melba.
I wasn't always the great Melba. I was just plain Nellie Mitchell. And my father always said that...
What is the matter?
I just realized how long ago it was. And how much older my darling father is by now. I haven't seen him for so many years. I wonder how he looks.
Why do you not go and find out?
When you put it like that, Enrico, why not indeed?
So you're actually going home at last, Nellie.
Yes, Gladys. There isn't any doubt this time. After I don't know how many false starts, I'm really leaving for Australia.
But what about all the engagements that were ahead of you? You told me you were booked up for years.
I've cancelled them all, except for some concerts in America.
You must have been homesick.
That's the strange part of it, Gladys. I wasn't. It came on me all of a sudden. It was just a chance remark that Caruso made. And I realized I hadn't seen my father for 16 years.
But you'll give some concerts in Australia, won't you?
Oh, yes, that's all been arranged. I've received a most attractive offer from George Musgrove. He's one of Australia's leading entrepreneurs.
Oh, I didn't know Australia had any entrepreneurs.
You may laugh at Australia, Gladys, but it isn't by any means the backward country you imagine. Why, we lead the world in some ways.
In singing, you do. Thanks to Nellie Melba.
I was thinking more of politics. Take our newly created Commonwealth Parliament. It's an example for the rest of the world. The last word in democracy.
Bravo, Nellie. You're a true patriot.
Well, I'm quoting the words of the Prince of Wales. He wrote to me this week and wished me bon voyage. He said he'd been tremendously impressed by Australia when he went there last year to open the new Parliament. And Gladys... Do you know the question he was asked most in Australia?
Why, of course. That's easier. When is Melba coming home?
In a few moments, we'll return to the Melba story. The Melba Story.
Mr. Mitchell, have you anything to say about your daughter's proposed visit to Australia?
Only that I'll be very glad to see my lass again. Mind you, I know nothing beyond the fact that she's coming. Perhaps you have some details, huh?
Well, we've received word that Madame Melba is sailing from Vancouver on August the 22nd.
As soon as that.
She's giving a series of concerts in Melbourne, Sydney, Brisbane and Adelaide during the months of September, October and November.
Well, is that all she has to see?
Cable ends with these words. I've always wanted to sing in my native country, but until now, the difficulties have proved insurmountable.
What the lass means is that she wasn't offered enough.
she goes on. Now that these difficulties have been removed, I'm looking forward to a renewal of old friendships with the people among whom I was born and brought up.
She'll find they haven't forgotten her.
And if by the exercise of my arts I'm able to add some joy to the lives of my countrymen and countrywomen, my happiness will be complete.
She sails in August, you see, in what ship?
The Mia Wira.
Welcome aboard, Madame Melba. I hope you have a pleasant voyage.
Thank you, Captain, but I'm afraid I won't. I'm a wretched sailor. And the Mia Wira isn't exactly a modern liner, is she?
As a matter of fact, she has a nickname, the Weary Mary, because she doesn't travel very fast. But you'll find her comfortable enough, madam.
Do you think we'll reach Brisbane by September the 14th, Captain?
I hope so. To tell you the truth, though, it's rather problematical because our engines are badly in need of an overhaul. However, we'll do our best, and you may be sure that we'll take no chances with such a precious cargo aboard.
Has there been any word of the Mia Wira?
Not so far, Mr. Mitchell.
Has she been sighted at all?
Not since a fortnight ago.
Isn't that rather unusual? Isn't it a bad sign?
Not necessarily, sir. You understand that any ship which may have sighted the Mia Wira would have been travelling in the opposite direction. It may not have reached port yet. As yet, there's no cause for worry.
No cause for worry, you say? When all the time I'm hearing people say that the ship's gone down, that she's at the bottom of the sea.
Pay no attention to such wild rumors, Mr. Mitchell. We'll let you know the moment we have some news.
Captain, is that dark smudge really Australia?
It's the bluff at the eastern end of Moreton Island.
Australia. My native land. My own country after 16 long years. I think I'm going to cry.
Go ahead, if it makes you feel better.
No, I'm going to bow 3 times for luck.
Like a Mohammedan?
No, like an Australian.
When do you give your first concert in Brisbane?
Well, seeing we've been delayed so much, I'm not sure. But I think it's tonight.
Gentlemen, fellow Australians, I've experienced many emotions since I've been here, but the warmth of your applause and your friendliness have made me sure of one thing, that at last I'm home again. And so, I'm going to sing for you as my final item, the only possible song, Home, Sweet Home. Oh.
Thank you.
friends. I'll be coming back to Brisbane, but now I want to hurry home to Melbourne because my beloved father's waiting for me.
Aren't we ever going to reach Albury?
We'll be there in a few minutes now, madam, according to what they say.
Will your father be there?
Yes, Ellen. He's coming up from Melbourne to meet me. Oh, how do I look?
Oh, you look lovely, madam. I'm sure he'll think so, too, when he sees you.
There she is.
There's Milba. I give her a cheer.
Yay! Thank you. Thank you, everyone.
Where's my father? I want my father.
Madam Melba, I've some bad news for you.
Bad news?
I'm afraid the excitement was too much for him. He was waiting for you, and then he collapsed.
Daddy. Oh, Daddy.
Unhappy homecoming for Melba. Her beloved father, whom she had not seen for 16 long years, has found the strain too great. We'll hear more of this poignant moment in the next chapter of The Melba Story. The Melba Story was written by John Ormiston Reed and produced by Dorothy Crawford. The Australian Symphony Orchestra was conducted by Hector Crawford. The role of Melba was spoken by Marcia Hart and sung by the Australian coloratura soprano, Glenda Raymond.